Now, these next two verses are two of the most prominent verses in Gita. They're in the top 20. And by reading them, hopefully you'll realize why. This one is quoted by Prabhupada hundreds of times in his books and his lectures. I can practically hear Prabhupada saying this verse right now. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. This verse is, every word is just too good. Please repeat. Brahma Bhuta. Being one with the Absolute. Now, question for my students. How many features of the Absolute? Meenakshi, what's the answer? Three features of the Absolute. Hold on. I'm going to give others a chance. Who can give me one of the three features of the Absolute? Anybody? She gave all three. Okay. So, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Supreme Personality Godhead. Or in Sanskrit, Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Very good. So that are the three features. It's one absolute, but in three features. Next word, prasanna-atma. Fully joyful. Question. Is it, not for Meenakshi, give others. Is it possible to be fully joyful on the material platform? Anybody think that can? So you all agree that it's not... Very good. You all get A grades today. Right. And the proof of that would be in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that trying to satisfy the senses is impossible because sense gratification is never satisfied and burns like fire. It's not possible. It's not designed that way. Otherwise, Arjuna would not be lamenting on the battlefield before the battle. If material circumstances could work in such a way that if you had all the money, still, even the richest people, they're still not satisfied. They're still not happy. Right? The billionaire wants still yet another billion. Now you, because you're devotees, if you had a billion, you would be satisfied because you're a devotee. But because they're not devotees, even though they have a billion, I gotta have another. He's got 10? No, I gotta have more than him. They're constantly in competition. But someone, again, the example of Sudama. After he got benedicted by Krishna, he had opulence. But it didn't affect him. It was not that he was thinking, now I got to have two palaces. Wait a second. No, he was satisfied. This is the same thing Vamanadev told Bali. What did Vamanadev say to Bali? Come here and get blessings. Excellent. Yes. When Vamanadev told Bali, I just want three steps of land, Bali said, you're not very intelligent, young brahmachari. I can give you a whole planet. Why are you asking three steps? I can give you a whole planet. And that's when Vamanadeva said, no. If I'm not happy with three steps, then I won't be happy with the whole universe. But you gotta watch out, because Krishna is what? Tricky. Who said that? Who said? Thank you for exposing. That is correct. And when Krishna wants to cheat, can anybody stop him? No. Krishna cheated Bali, because the prayer says, Chalayasi. He cheated him. Which is why when he was sent to that low planet, Vamanadeva became his doorkeeper. So he lost the universe, but who did he get in return? He got Krishna. So what would you rather have? The president, same way. Arjuna got the choice of Krishna's army or Krishna. What did Arjuna pick? And Duryodhan couldn't believe it. He was like, oh my God, what an idiot. Duryodhan thought that Arjuna was stupid because he got Krishna's millions of army, right? But look what how it turned out in the end. Who was the winner? Yes. Why did Arjuna win the battle? Not because he had Krishna's army. He had Krishna on his chariot. Who saved him when Bhishma was about to kill him? That was the key. It was Arjuna admitted it after, when Krishna left. Arjuna told Yudhisthira, it was because Krishna was with me on the chariot. That's why we won the war, not otherwise. Bhishma and Karna could have done it, but because of Krishna. See, the Krishna factor is everything. Always remember the Krishna factor. Everything in your life may be going, but just take shelter of Krishna. As long as you have Krishna with you, amazing things can happen. The Krishna factor. Never forget the Krishna factor, Arjuna, on the cricket field. Do you think of Krishna while you're playing cricket? Do you pray to Krishna? Yes, you see the athletes. Have you ever watched? Sometimes the athletes, they do this blessing thing, or they at least some of them are God conscious. So after they hit the home run, it's like, thanks God. Or they do a little prayer before, okay. But that's good, because they're recognizing that that's not the doer, that there's still this God factor. That's good for them. So you're doing that, you're praying. Now if you do that more, then you will become the great Arjuna on the cricket field. We'll see you on TV. And then when they interview you, so Arjuna, what was the reason you won? What would you say? Thank you. Don't let me down. Okay, let's see. Prasanna, okay, yes. Prasanna Atma. Fully joyful. Na, never. Shochati, laments. Na, never. Kangshati, desires. Sama, equally disposed. Sarveshu, to all. Bhuteshu, living entities. Matbhaktim, my devotional service. Labhate, gains. Param, transcendental. Please repeat. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Before we go to the purport, I have some quiz questions. So, is there a significance to this phrase, Supreme Brahman? Why doesn't Prabhupada just say Brahman? Why does he say Supreme Brahman? Is there a difference between Brahman and Supreme Brahman? Who can answer my transcendental question? Nobody can answer my question? What is Brahman? Okay, good. That's one way to answer the question. Did you all hear what she said? She says that Brahman is Krishna's effulgence, whereas Supreme Brahman is the Supreme Personality. That is one correct angle of vision. I will give her an A. There is another answer to my question. There is a difference between Brahman and Supreme Brahman. Who can give me the other? What about Mr. Madhava? How about Rohan? How about Hiran? Yeah, but that's only half the answer. Anybody want to take a stab between the difference between Brahman and Supreme Brahman? Sorry, I can't give you that one. But you're in the ballpark, but sorry, I can't give you. Anybody? All right. Narantara?
Yes, I will answer the question.
Brahman refers to the living entity, the soul. The soul is Brahman.
Well, then you should have said it.
I love when people, I was going to say that. Yeah, but you didn't.
No soup for you.
Yes, Brahman refers to the jiva. Now the Mayavadis would say, Brahman, Supreme Brahman, no difference. Why? Because the Mayavadis don't make a distinction. But Vaishnavas do make a distinction. Can Brahman ever become Supreme Brahman? No. Mayavadis say, you know what the Mayavadis say? Headed by Vivekananda. You know what he says? Started with Shankaracharya. You know what he said? You're Brahman, but now you're an illusion. Practice yoga and meditation, you'll become Supreme Brahman. Clever, isn't it? That's very, and Lord Chaitanya said, this is the most dangerous philosophy. And this is how Prabhupada defeats it. Oh, so I'm God, huh? I just forgot that I was God? Huh. So, here's the thing. Prabhupada's answer is, so, Vivekananda and all you Mayavadis, you say that originally I was God, now I'm an illusion, I practice yoga and meditation, I'll remember I'm God. That means illusion is more powerful than God. Because how can God come under illusion? If I'm God, but I fell into illusion, then that means illusion is more powerful than God. And my other answer is, Krishna must be that kind of God who doesn't fall into illusion. There must be a difference. So that explanation, the Mayavad explanation, falls short. The proper explanation is, yes, we are Brahman. We're not the Supreme Brahman. And because we're Brahman, that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Mama Eva Angsha, how does Prabhupada translate? The living entity is what? Infinitesimal. Not infinite. The Supreme Brahman is infinite, but not the jiva soul. The jiva soul is infinite? No, he's limited. He's infinitesimal. There's a difference. So, the jiva soul is Brahman. But when you see this phrase, Supreme Brahman, now we're talking about Vishnu and Krishna. Can the jiva ever become Vishnu or Krishna? Can the jiva soul become Lord Brahma? Yes. Yes. Can the jiva soul become Lord Shiva? Nope. Sorry. And obviously, can the jiva soul become Krishna? No, that's Mayavad philosophy. That's what Lord Chaitanya has come to defeat. Mayavad philosophy. Okay? Where are we going? Class is not over. She has to take a break? All right. Yes. 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 Well, that's later. That's another concept. That phrase is trying to distinguish spirit from matter. But that's a different discussion. All right? This discussion is the difference between Brahman and Parabrahman. Parabrahman means supreme Brahman. That's the difference. Okay? It's a different aspect. There's many things in Mayavad philosophy. Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mitya, that's another item for another class. That'll come up at some point. Okay? All right. So now we know why he uses the supreme Brahman, because he wants you to understand you will realize Krishna. Now, if I realize Krishna, will I also realize myself? Yes, obviously. Otherwise, understanding just Krishna and not yourself, you're missing out. No, when you actually realize Krishna, then you'll really understand who you are in its proper perspective. And understanding yourself without understanding Krishna is also going to be faulty. Okay? All right. Let's go to the purport. Are we ready? Yeah. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra one time. To the impersonalist, achieving the Brahma-Bhuta stage, becoming one with the Absolute, is the last word. We're talking about impersonalist. Are we impersonalist? What are we? Personalist. That was explained in which chapter? Excellent. Okay, but for the personalist or pure devotee, one has to go still further. To become engaged in pure devotional service. That means that one who is engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is already in a state of liberation called Brahma Bhuta. And that's why we had Rama chant that verse from chapter 14. Called Brahma Bhuta, oneness with the Absolute. Without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto Him. In the Absolute conception, there is no difference between the served and the servitor, yet the distinction is there in a higher spiritual sense. So the explanation of that is, the idea Prabhupada is presenting here. In the stage of liberation, in the spiritual world, Krishna is a person, you're a person. So your individuality remains, and Krishna will be in the superior position. You will still remain the servant. But there won't be any feeling of distance. You will feel that we are together on this. That's the idea. In the material world, we don't like being called servant, right? Say we have to answer to the boss. Like my wife is going through this right now, okay? She has to deal with all these stupid bosses, right? And they give her reviews and this and that, you know, and sometimes it's demeaning. You know, she's working hard, and there's very little appreciation. But in the spiritual world, it's different. You will feel reciprocation from Krishna. You will feel there is no disparaging. It's not that you're looked, oh, you're just the support staff. We are the big, big lawyers. Go make us our coffee and then get back to work. That happens in an office, okay? You get this, you know, superiority. We are the, you know, you're just staff. We're going to have our big, big meetings, okay? Whereas in this, not like that in the spiritual world. You're treated with love and respect. There's an exchange of love. Even though Krishna's in the superior position, still you don't feel any difference. In the material concept of life, when one works for sense gratification, there is misery. But in the absolute world, when one is engaged in pure devotional service, there is no misery. The devotee in Krishna consciousness has nothing for which to lament or desire. Since God is full, a living entity who is engaged in God's service in Krishna consciousness becomes also full in himself or herself. Yes, the more you do devotional service, you'll feel satisfied. You'll feel happy. He is just like a river cleansed of all dirty water. Because a pure devotee has no thought other than Krishna, he is naturally always joyful. There you go. He does not lament for any material loss or aspire for gain because he is full in the service of the Lord. He has no desire for material enjoyment because he knows that every living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and therefore eternally a servant. So does that mean when I go back to Godhead, I'm still a servant? Yeah. Sorry. I'm always a servant. Better get used to it. Question is, who do you want to serve? Donald Trump or Krishna? Which one you want to serve? Yeah. Same way. I want to serve Krishna. Not these other idiots. Waste my time. No, I want to serve Krishna. Or Krishna's representative. That's just as good. He does not see in the material world someone is higher and someone is lower. Higher and lower positions are ephemeral, and a devotee has nothing to do with ephemeral appearances or disappearances. For him, stone and gold are of equal value. This is the Brahma-Bhuta stage, and this stage is attained very easily by the pure devotee. In that stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Brahman and annihilating one's individuality becomes hellish. Because if you lose your individuality, then you can't do any service. That's why this is referring to a statement of Kapila Dev. The devotee will accept liberation provided there is some service. That's what makes a devotee. The devotee, whether it be a he or a she, wants service. Hanuman was offered all kinds of liberations. What did Hanuman say? No, I want simply to remain your servant. He could have gotten anything he wanted, but no. He said, no. Same way with Prahlad, when Nisringadev tested him. Prahlad said, what, am I a merchant? That I'm worshiping you to make some deal? Like we do that in the material world, right? We do things, we make a deal, okay. But not Prahlad, not devotees. That's why Dhruva Maharaj is interesting. I was telling someone the other day the story of Dhruva, one young girl. What was unique about Dhruva is that Krishna satisfied the material desire and the spiritual desire. He got both. He got the trifecta. He got to rule the earth for 36,000 years with youthful senses. And then at the end of life, he gets to go to his own spiritual planet where the Lord is there on his planet. But what did Dhruva say after he got the benediction from the Lord? Dhruva said, I'm such a fool. I worship the Lord to get a kingdom when I'm such an idiot. I should have worshipped the Lord for the Lord. That was Dhruva's lamentation. He realized, I worship the Lord for some kingdom. It's like taking a broken piece of glass when you could have gotten diamond. They look the same, don't they? This is the Brahma Bhuta stage, and this stage is attained very easily by the pure devotee. In that stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Brahman and annihilating one's individuality becomes hellish. The idea of attaining the heavenly kingdom becomes phantasmagoria, and the senses are like serpent's teeth that are broken. And there's no fear of a serpent with broken teeth. There is no fear from the senses when they are automatically controlled. The world is miserable for the materially infected person. But for a devotee, the entire world is as good as Vaikuntha or the spiritual sky. The highest personality in this material universe is no more significant than an ant for a devotee. Such a stage can be achieved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who preached pure devotional service in this age. And the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Yaranyata. All right. We have